So much here can be said. Krishna, here is saying, he says, aham bhakta parad, you know, he says, I'm dependent on my devotees. When devotees are being spoken of here, you notice that at the end of the verse he says, even the devotees of my devotees are dear to me. So that's another type of devotee that's being spoken about. First, the devotees are spoken about the category of Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, these are actually pure devotees, Shuddha Vaishnavas, who are like this. He says, because they are devoid of material desires. So those devotees who are devoid of material desires, Krishna says, I'm completely under their control. And then he says, and what to speak of them, he says, I'm actually dear, even those who are the devotees of my devotees. In other words, they're followers. They are not necessarily in the same category. They may be, they may not be, but they're also very, very dear to me. And these are the introductory statements that Lord Narayan makes. Then, this idea that Krishna or the Supreme Lord is not independent goes completely against the initial statement of Srimad Bhagavatam and the very basis of Vaishnava Siddhanta, because Bhagavatam begins by saying Avigya Swara, that Krishna is Swarat, is that he's independent, he's not dependent on anyone. But here, something else is being said. He says, no, I'm completely dependent on my devotees. So how does Krishna become dependent, and at the same time, he's independent? From a point of view of philosophy, yes, he's completely independent. From the point of view of a person who has emotional ties, because ultimately we're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has emotional ties with others, just like we all have that experience, we're not. To those people who we love, we're not independent. We're not independent of them. We're very much dependent. In fact, and it becomes later on, so it's not just a matter of that I'm dependent on them, I'm controlled by them. And this becomes a phenomena that is unpacked later on in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is about what? It's about showing how actually Krishna is controlled by love. It's not a concept that is very clear or propounded to any great depth in other religious practices. Certainly, even in other Vaishnavas, they don't have this understanding, and if they do, it doesn't extend to the depth in which we see that Krishna actually becomes controlled by love. He becomes controlled by love, that he carries his father's shoes on his head, that he becomes a subordinate to his devotee. And being in that subordinate position is something that he enjoys, and it becomes not a weakness, because generally when someone is subordinate to somebody else, when someone is dependent on someone else, you consider it to be a weakness. So it's a weakness, no, but it's actually considered to be an opulence of Krishna. So the Rasa Muni is bewildered. What does it mean that you're dependent? So then the Lord continues. He says, O best of Brahmins, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. So supreme opulences means I'm not interested in Vaikuntha. neither do I enjoy any pastimes. Bliss means pastimes, ananda. So without the association of Vaishnavas, without the association of my associates, she says, I have no desire for any of these things, which once again is a personal revelation. It's not a, although it's certainly a statement of philosophy, but from the philosophical point of view, Krishna is considered to be that he is Atmarama, Sumunayo, that he is Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. Not only is he Atmarama, but he's also Aptakama. He fulfills all of his own desires. Now, all of a sudden, he says, but without devotees, neither am I satisfied, neither am I happy. Why? Because he's a person. Because he's not just God. If you want to talk about philosophy and philosophical principles, yes, and certainly when it comes to creation or anything else, Krishna doesn't need anyone. But when it talks about personal exchange and to actually experience Anandamaya Abhyasara, then Krishna is very much dependent. But who's he dependent on? He's only dependent on these class of people who know no one else but him. And because they know no one else but him, ultimately Krishna will say, then I don't know anybody else but them. Then one may ask, well, how is it that someone is able to achieve this type of control, this type of dominance over the Lord? How is it that Krishna becomes so affectionate to a devotee? What do devotees do? And then he says, since pure devotees give up their homes, their wives, their children, their relatives, their riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? He says, well, they give up everything for me. And so this becomes the principle that Krishna enunciates in Bhagavad Gita, Jayajitaram, Ampupaitanti, Tamsatayabhavajamyaham. So Krishna is it's one of Krishna's qualities. Krishna is very grateful. He's a very grateful person. So we have experience. We also experience what it means to be grateful. Someone does something for you, you feel very grateful. There's a certain emotion that comes along with that. And sometimes you feel like you're obliged to someone for your life because they do something for you. But here, Krishna is in a situation where he has devotees, many devotees, like Ambarish Maharaj, who are giving up everything. They give up everything for him, simply in order to be able to serve him. They renounce everything. Why did they give everything up? Even though they may physically not renounce, Ambarish Maharaj, after all, is still the king, he's still got family, he's still got children, he's still the emperor of the world. He's still got so much riches, but he gives up all attachment to these things. He has no more attachment. Why? Because he's so attached to Krishna, he's so absorbed in Krishna, that the attachment to these things becomes extremely insignificant. So when he says, and I'm giving up all his wife and children, one gives up attachment to these things. It's easier to walk away from these things than to actually give up the attachment to them. To give up the attachment really requires purity of the heart, and it requires something better to be attached to. So from our point of view, in one sense, it's relatively easy. We're just thinking about Krishna. Krishna's point of view is a more complex, which is, in one sense, all right, because he happens to be God. And that means that there are millions and millions of devotees who are giving everything up for him, and they see him as only the one. In other words, for them, there's no one else other than Krishna. Krishna has got to reciprocate with unlimited number of devotees in the same way, in other words, that there's no one else except that one. So he can do that because he's got, obviously, if we have, for instance, that's why, you know, we can't focus our minds on two gods. Bhakta to Anyayas, Anya, Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means that it's single-pointed or one-track mind, as we would call it. So devotees can have a one-track mind. It's very easy for them. They only have to just meditate, think about Krishna. And they only have to give up everything to Krishna. Krishna, on the other hand, he has to reciprocate in a way where he's exclusively reciprocating with an unlimited number of such devotees. But how do these devotees do that? He says, yes, they give up everything for me, therefore how can I not give up everything for them? At a certain point, Dvarasa Muni says, well, but here I am, because the Sudarshan Chakra is always in the background, and it's turning, and every once in a while, Dvarasa Muni looks over his shoulder to see that it's there, that it's still there. And he's expecting that sooner or later, the Lord is going to be kind to him, and he's going to tell him to go away, but he doesn't do that. He says, don't you feel for my suffering? And he says, no. No, you brought it on yourself. He says, can't you stop this? He says, no, I can't. There's a certain philosophical aspect to this idea of feeling suffering. Which is a little complex issue. Does Krishna feel the happiness and distress of conditioned souls? And in short, the answer is that Krishna feels for our suffering, that we're separate from him, but he doesn't feel the suffering, because material happiness and material distress doesn't touch Krishna. So when the Rasa Muni asks, don't you feel sorry for me? He says, no, your soreness is your material attachment. I don't experience material attachment. But it's a shame that you've committed such an offense to Ambarish Maharaj, and now you're suffering the reaction for that. So there's a sadhana. How is it that Vaishnavas actually are able to win Krishna's heart? And Krishna gives a very nice example, a very practical example. He says, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands, there's two requirements here, chaste women and gentle husbands. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotee, who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. So they're equal to everyone. Pandita Samadarshana, they have a spiritual vision. And they're really attached to me within the core of their hearts. So Krishna consciousness is really meant to ultimately cultivate and bring this type of attachment. Attachment is, goes by different names. Sometimes we call it prema, sometimes it's called raga. So to awaken actually that love within the heart. This is actually brings me under their full control. Well, it's an extraordinary concept how God actually comes under the control of his devotee. And it's only the power of love. So when the yogis want to even meditate Krishna within their minds, actually what they meditate and what they see is not Krishna. It's just an image of Krishna. Because you can't contain Krishna within your mind. You can't trap Krishna within your mind. You can't possess Krishna in any way other than by love. So Krishna is only subject to love, bhakti anama vijanati. You can't control him in any way. And you can't contain him within your mind just by some kind of mental exercise. He's not purchased like that. But if you have love for Krishna, then Krishna comes under complete control. Krishna comes under the control of Mother Yashoda, comes under the control of Arjuna. Arjuna asks Krishna, please drive my chariot. Krishna drives Arjuna's chariot. And we have so many examples. So this quality of Krishna actually being subordinate to love, this is the ultimate concept of Krishna consciousness, and this is what Krishna consciousness is meant to deliver through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So bringing Krishna under their full control. And it is stated here, through service, that's why we engage in devotional service. So service is such a great asset, it's such a rare thing that we have the opportunity to engage in worship of the deities, cooking, cleaning the temple, washing the floor, preaching. There's so many services, so many activities. Without service, spiritual life then becomes a theory. It becomes very, very difficult to actually gain entrance into the spiritual world, because the spiritual world does all they do. So you can't go somewhere where you have no experience of something. It's like joining the Olympic swimming club without knowing how to swim. You just dump into the pool all of a sudden, and it just starts to happen. So you can't get into Vaikuntha without having a perfect service attitude. And it's that service attitude that's being given here. A chaste woman, which is actually, the reflection is on us. We're meant to be chaste. Gentle husband, that's Krishna. So as a chaste woman brings a gentle husband under control, gradually, Krishna comes under control as devotees engage in service. But they're equal to everyone. So it's interesting that even though Krishna is the subject here, it isn't that other people are being eliminated. Everyone else is actually part of the picture. And it's done with attachment. The service has to be done with attachment. It's not just mechanical. It means what Prabhupada uses this phrase, loving devotional service. Then he says, Matsevaya Pati Tamti. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested in the four principles of liberation, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is said to be of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? And this is in response to the question or the answer, well, what about liberation? And the devotees aren't interested in being liberated. They have no interest in liberation. They have no interest in being elevated to the heavenly planets. All of these things pale in comparison to their ability to be able to serve me. The pleasure they get from that so much surpasses all these other things. Why should they be interested in lesser things? That was verse 67. And then the main verse for me, and this is the verse you'll find quoted the most, and this then becomes the Lord's declaration, where it says, Sadhava Uridaya Mayam, Sadhava Uridaya Taham, Madanyat Tena jana tina hamte vyo manajapi. He says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them. That's a wonderful, wonderful statement. Here's this extraordinary public statement being made by the Lord. Sadhavavadayama. He says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. I don't know anything else but me, and they don't know anything else. They don't, my devotees don't know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but them. And the rest means to me, you don't know anyone else but them. He says, no, I'm just fully absorbed. When Krishna is playing with his cowherd boyfriends, he's not thinking about anyone else. He's not thinking about creating universes. He's not thinking about the problems of the world. He's just absorbed in the loving exchange with his devotees. In the same way, why? Because it wouldn't be fair. Devotees are fully absorbed in Krishna. So if he's not fully absorbed in them, then where is the Jetatama Prabhupada? What about everything else that's going on? How do things keep going on? They go on. Of course, that's part of Krishna's inconceivable potency. But in terms of his own personal declaration here, his own absorption, Krishna says, yes, I become so exclusively absorbed in devotees that I forget about Mahavishnu, and I forget about the universes, and I forget about all the problems of the world, and I'm just absorbed in the loving exchange with devotees. And devotees also have those types of experiences. It's called absorption, when you become very, very intensely absorbed in something or someone, then it's like the rest of the world disappears. And that happens for Krishna also. And what is it that makes it happen? This type of exclusive affection that devotees have for Krishna that excludes all other things, that becomes reciprocal, that then is what intoxicates Krishna and makes Krishna be oblivious to these other things. I told you I wasn't going to go for so long, but anyway, it's 8:30. Then, this is the end. It's a wonderful verse, something that devotees should really learn and meditate on. And then after this, the Lord's finished. He says, O Brahman, let me advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you've acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. So, of course, one lesson here to be learned is the result of Vaishnava Parada. It doesn't matter who you are, you may be Lord Shiva, and he's a expansion of Lord Shiva, but if you commit offense to pure devotee, then this is the result. By the grace, here then becomes the false duty, or the end of this particular pastime. By the grace of the Lord, those who hear about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, the great devotee, certainly become liberated or become devotees without delay. So Ambarish Maharaj was still waiting. Durvasa Muni returned. He went back to Mathura. He begged for forgiveness. He was freed. Ambarish Maharaj requested the Sudarshan Chakra not to kill him. And then the rest of Muni's life seemed to sort of change. He became more of a devotee and also took up residence in Vrindavan. And then there are many instances later on in Krishna's pastimes where he also plays different roles. So many things that we can learn from this last point about being very careful about how we interact with Vaishnavas. Of course, going to this extreme of offending a Vaishnava is really going far, but still, not even in a slight way should Vaishnavas be offended. And we can study or meditate how these statements of Srimad Bhagavatam are there, because remember, this is preceding the 10th canto. This is sort of like a unfolding of Krishna's heart. Krishna's revealing what's in his heart. So he says, Sadhavodi Dharmaya. He says, well, the sadhus are in my heart, and I'm in their hearts. So that's a very special opportunity, and that's what Krishna consciousness allows us to get this type of not only very exclusive peek into the Lord's own psychology, but actually to become part of his heart. So devotees who want to be part of Krishna's heart, then they chant Hare Krishna and they follow these recommendations of service, very faithful service, detached service, but attached to the Lord, seeing everyone else equally. And then gradually, as the heart becomes purified, then that result, it must come. If it doesn't, then have to ask why. So thank you very much. And now, continue chanting. I can't chant. I don't think it'd be very good for me. But you all chant. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishiraha Gokulanda ki jai. Jai Vitai Gopremana ki jai.